The word of God given to us today is Revelations chapter 3, 14 to 22, page 402 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. During occasions like our church outdoors day, 100 Together, when many people get together, we often host events. One such event is the OX quiz. If you think the host's words are correct, you move to the O side. And if you think his words are incorrect, you move to the X side. Once people have settled on a side, a line is drawn in the middle so that people cannot move. And so the people who are on the wrong side drop out. And the next round begins with people on the right side. I'd like to give you a few questions I used to give in the OX quiz. Let's go ahead and pick a side. If you think my statement is correct, you move to the O side on the right. And if you think it is incorrect, you move to the X side on the left. In your mind, go ahead and pick a side and move. The sculpture by Rodin, the thinker, has his eyes open. If you're thinking O, right side. If you can think X, left side. Usually we divide trees into broad-leaved trees and conifers. Since ginkgo leaves are broad, can we say it is a broad-leaved tree? If you're thinking O, right side, if you think X, left side. The stones for the game of Go are either white or black. But are they of different size? If you think their sizes are different, O, go right. And if you think that they are the same, X, go left. For those of you who are looking for Bible questions, the book of Genesis has 50 chapters and Exodus has 40. But the Old Testament has one book that has just one chapter. If you're thinking O, right side. If you think X, left side. Final question. Jacob has a total of 13 children. If you're thinking O, right side. If you think X, left side. How were the questions? Were they difficult or easy? The answer for all five questions is O. Oh. A quick search on the internet will show if the thinking man had his eyes open or closed. And angiosperm plants are usually called broad-leaved plants, while gymnosperm plants are conifers. So the ginkgo is actually a gymnosperm plant. The stones used in Go are sized a little differently because the white stones look larger than the black ones. So the black stones have to be made a little larger to make up for the optical illusion. The only book in the Old Testament made up of a single chapter is the book of Obadiah. In the New Testament, the book of Philemon, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Judah each have one chapter respectively. Jacob had 12 sons and a daughter, Dinah. The OX quiz is a quiz you can join in even if you don't have a lot of expertise or knowledge. Studying a lot doesn't guarantee success. Even if you have a lot of expertise or knowledge, your chances of winning are 50%. Often, middle school or elementary school students take first place in these games. But what would happen if a person taking an OX quiz stands in the middle, neither on the O side nor the X side? Even if the questions are hard, or you have never heard these questions before, standing on either O or X guarantees some chance of winning. But standing in the middle ensures that you are always wrong. In our faith and life, standing in the middle because you want both is often the wrong thing to do. The children of Israel, through God's deeds and grace, were finally able to enter the promised land of Canaan and settle there. Joshua, who followed Moses in leading the children of Israel, was now old and did not have long to live. Joshua called the elders and leaders of each tribe to Shechem and spoke to them about what had happened so far. In his sermon, he said, "God called our forefather Abraham and gave him Isaac, and to Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And he sent Moses to Egypt to lead the Exodus. And he led us in the wilderness and gave us victory in Canaan so we could live in a fortress we did not build and eat of grapes and olives that we did not plant. And then he gave them this OX quiz. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15 bear witness. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. If you think serving the Lord who guided us through Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, the Exodus, the wilderness and settlement in Canaan is right, take O. And if you think, no, serving the gods we served in Egypt and the gods of the original people of Canaan is right, pick X. And Joshua himself made the first pick. He says, as for me and my household, we think serving the Lord is the right thing. And he says he will stand on the O side. In response to Joshua's quiz, the children of Israel said with one voice, we also think serving the Lord is the right thing to do, and we will stand on the O side. Their answer was the right one. But in their actual lives, they always stood in the middle, neither O nor X. They could not leave God, but in order to live well in Canaan, they thought they needed to understand the local culture and the religion. So they were unable to enjoy a blessed life, even in God's promised land. Years after Joshua left the earth, another person gives us an OX quiz. The prophet Elijah lived in the time of Ahab, who is usually considered the most evil of the kings of North Israel. This period in which Ahab ruled is one in which the spiritual destruction of the children of Israel reached its height. The prophet Elijah heard God's word and said to King Ahab, "There will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." About half of the cities in the United States right now are suffering from drought. This is especially severe in the West, where in California and Arizona, wildfires are becoming frequent and people are having to ration drinking water. Even though the U.S. is a world superpower, it is still helpless in the face of drought. For 3 years after Elijah's statement, Israel had no rain. The destruction was beyond any words. God said, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will finally send rain on the land." Elijah said to Ahab to bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table to Mount Carmel. The 450 prophets of Baal and many children of Israel assembled at Mount Carmel. Elijah suggested to the prophets of Baal that they each side take a calf, cut it into pieces, and put it on the altar. And when they call on the name of their gods, the one who answers with fire would be the true God. Elijah gave the children of Israel the following OX quiz. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two options? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. He was saying, if you think Jehovah is God, go to the O side. And if Baal is God, go to the X side. But the children of Israel did not stand on or O, or X. They stood with one foot on O and the other on X, straddling both sides. They could not deny the God who had up to this day led their ancestors and themselves. But at the same time, they could not give up the economic benefits King Ahab had brought them. Ahab had renewed the power of Israel when it was weakened after the time of the kings David and Solomon, and he had made it so that they had enough to live upon. So they thought it was right to worship gods such as Baal and Asherah, just as Ahab and his queen Jezebel suggested. So they were wavering between God and Baal, O and X. In the end, this wavering and straddling led to the destruction of North Israel by the Assyrians, and South Judah was destroyed by the Babylon Empire. Today's reading also gives an OX quiz. Verses 15 to 16, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus says to the church of Laodicea, if you think being hot is right, pick O, and if the cold is right, pick X. But the church of Laodicea stood in the middle, lukewarm, between hot and cold. Traditionally, cold means to lack spiritual feeling or to reject the gospel. And hot is to be full of passion toward the Lord. We can think of it this way if we take just the words hot and cold from verses 15 to 16. It tells us to face the fact that we are cold and to change ourselves back to hot. But Jesus did not say this in order to change the church of Laodicea from cold to hot. Jesus did not blame the church of Laodicea for being cold, but for being in a lukewarm state. He says, I wish you were either one or the other. Jesus' statement is closely related to the Laodicea's location. Laodicea was a city in which finance had prospered, the clothing industry thrived, and medicine had developed. But it was sadly lacking in water and had to gain water by pipeline from another city. Hierapolis, which was about 10 kilometers north of Laodicea, was famous for its hot springs, much like Turkey's Pamukkale today. It had limestones white as if covered by snow, and hot water flowing forth. And even today, people on pilgrimage to the Holy Land stop by Pamukkale and relax after traveling by taking off their shoes and walking through the warm water. the hot spring water from Hierapolis became lukewarm by the time it reached Laodicea. Sometimes it became mixed with chemicals, with a nasty smell or taste, so that it was sickening to drink. And 16 kilometers southeast of Laodicea was Colossae, where they obtained cold groundwater. This groundwater was sent over to Laodicea, but this too became lukewarm by the time it reached Laodicea. The hot spring water from Hierapolis had medicinal properties, and the cold groundwater from Colossae was clean and healthy. But the water in Laodicea was lukewarm and foul. Jesus used this to make us reflect on the faith of the Church of Laodicea. Imagine if you were to drop by a restaurant in a freezing winter to thaw out with a bowl of hot salungtang soup. But if the soup was lukewarm, would you eat it? Would you take it saying, "I'm hungry anyway"? Imagine if in a hot summer you were to order some cold naengmyeon noodles to cool down and got a lukewarm bowl of noodles instead. Would you repeat the Korean proverb, "Fight fire with fire," and eat it anyway? If you ordered seolleongtang and got lukewarm soup, maybe even naengmyeon soup, what would you do? You would probably say, "I can't eat at this restaurant." If it were the other way around, and you ordered naengmyeon and got seolleongtang, again, it would be the same. This was the reality of the Church of Laodicea. The church was lukewarm when a hot spirit was called for, and lukewarm also when cold reason was needed. I'd like to repeat to you verse 15. "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other." The Greek word for cold is psychros, which means temperatures like a freezing wind in the middle of winter, or a cold drink that cools your entire body down in the middle of summer. And the Greek word for hot is zestos, which is a word that means boiling point. The Church of Laodicea was, in comparison to any church in Asia Minor back then, not a poor church at all. Wealth is not something gained in a moment, nor can we gain wealth without effort. Unless you buy a lottery ticket for the first time and strike gold, or a relative you never knew suddenly leaves you a lot of money. Otherwise, wealth requires a good deal of hard work. It requires a passion for work. And cold reason that helps to judge how and with whom to do what amount of work. The Church of Laodicea was outwardly rich in goods. In order to gain this wealth, they would have been psychros, or cold, and at times zestos, or hot. But in their faith, when they should have been hot or cold, they were not so. So if you look up Laodicean in the English dictionary, you will find a description, a person having a lukewarm attitude towards religious matters, or as an adjective, lukewarm and indifferent, especially in religious matters. The noun is now changed into an adjective here. The lukewarm state of a Laodicean church may have given them material riches, but their souls were impoverished, and they were not able to receive acknowledgement from Christ. So even 1900 years later today, they are an example of a church we should not follow. In the days when the judges ruled, a famine was on the land. Elimelech and Naomi, a couple, and their two sons, Malon and Kilion, lived in Bethlehem. They migrated temporarily to Moab in order to flee the famine. But Elimelech died suddenly, and a temporary migration became a very long-term affair. Both sons married, but after 10 years, both were dead. And only Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, remained. Hearing the news that God had turned to the people of Israel and given them food, the mother-in-law and two daughters-in-law left to go back to Bethlehem. On the way, Naomi told the two daughters-in-law, "I have no hope now. You must go back to your parents." Finally, Orpah wept and kissed her mother-in-law goodbye and turned back. Naomi also urged Ruth to leave again and again. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, testifies to Ruth's answer. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and I will there be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." This was like answering, "If what you are saying is an OX quiz, then the place where you stand is an O, and where you are not is an X. Where your God is always O, and where the God of Moab is an X. Being where you are, where your God is always the right answer, and I want to greet my final days there." When Naomi said to Ruth to return to Moab, following after her sister-in-law Orpah, she said, "Your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." Orpah did not simply return to Moab. She returned to the gods whom she served before she met her mother-in-law. It is possible that Orpah could have remarried and lived well there. If so, she would have straddled between God and the gods of Moab. But this was the end for her. She does not appear again in the Bible. If so, she would have straddled between God and the gods of Moab. But Ruth chose the side of God. God made her the great-grandmother of David and the ancestor of Jesus who was to come. The church of Laodicea was not cold or hot and was merely lukewarm. And so it received a rebuke from Jesus. We too will be rebuked if we are lukewarm, because each of us is also a church. Before us, there are always big and small OX quizzes. If we have to choose between the kingdom of God and the world, choosing the kingdom of God is always right. Standing in the middle between them is being lukewarm. When there is a clash between biblical values, eternal values, and worldly values, and momentary and pleasure-oriented values, it is always right to choose the biblical values and eternal values. To go back and forth is to be hesitant and straddling between the two. If we always make the right choice in our homes, at work, at our schools, our homes will become healthier, and our society will become more pure and brighter in the future. Let us pray. Father God, the church of Laodicea was neither cold nor hot. It was lukewarm. Because of this, although they may have gained worldly riches, they failed to receive the Lord's compliment, which they should have received. Looking back on our lives, we realize that there are so many times that we were in the state of being lukewarm. Therefore, although we have long lived as believers, we failed to gain abundant knowledge of you, and our spiritual maturity did not progress well. May this hour be the time in which we abandon our lukewarm attitude. Thank you for giving us good models of faith as Joshua, Elijah, and Ruth. We confess that the OX quiz that confronted them is also before us. If we have to choose between God and Mammon, allow us to choose God. Although it may look like choosing you is being a fool, taking the slower route, or losing out, allow us to make the choice always. And if we have to choose between eternal values and worldly values, help us to choose eternal values. If we have to choose between saving a life and achieving our ambition, help us to choose to save a life. Help us not to be hesitant between these choices or straddle between the two and become diseased as Christians. And so we pray that as we travel on our life journey, we will become more mature Christians, children who resemble you more and more and enjoy the riches of the Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.